Okay, today's daf is Pesachim Daf Yud Aleph. We are going to pick up at the Mishnah and Daf Yud Amid Beis. I want to thank Elisha Graf and Rabbi Eli Storch for covering the daf for me while I was away. Today we're going to discuss Machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yudah and the Chachamim about if a person should do Bedika, if they forgot to do Bedika at the proper time, or are we concerned that maybe if a person is doing Bedika after the Zman Isr Chametz, that Shami Yavel Liachlo, that he might come to eat the Chametz, and therefore it's better just to leave it alone and not to get involved in the Bedika. So we're going to it's going to turn out that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow doing bedika after chametz becomes aser because he's afraid that you might come to eat the chametz. So the first topic the Gemara is going to discuss in today's daf is whether Rabbi Yehuda is really generally concerned that you might come to eat something that you're dealing with. If you are you allowed to deal with aser items out of a concern that you might come to eat it? We're going to have three possible distinctions that could be made between chametz on the one hand and chadash on the other hand. Because apparently Rabbi Yehuda allows dealing with chadash, even though and he's not concerned that you might come to eat it. And then the bottom of Amud Aleph and top of Amud Beis, we're going to discuss whether Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're less concerned that a person will come to eat something that you're not used to keeping away from throughout the year. The concept of badil minei. How concerned are we that someone's going to come to eat something that he's always badil minei, that he's used to separating from throughout the entire year? And then in the Mishnah and Amud Beis, we're going to have three shittos as to exactly when on Erev Pesach does it become asur to eat chametz, and that's going to lead to a discussion of how much of a mistake a person makes in terms of estimating what time of day it is based on where the sun is on a cloudy day, and that has ramifications for Hilchos Eidos as well. So we'll maybe begin that discussion at the very end of today's daf. Let's pick up from the Mishnah on Daf Yod Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Botkin or Yudal Rabbi Yudal Chachrus Ubishas Abir. Pashup Shad in the Mishnah sounds like he's saying Rabbi Yehuda holds you do Bedikas Chametz three times, the night of Erev Pesach, the morning, and then Bishas Abir again at the time that you were destroying the Chametz. The Chacham said, no, lo badak or yodalid yivdok biyodalid. If you didn't do Bedika on the night of the 14th, then do Bedika on the day of the 14th. Lo badak biyodalid yivdok b'toch hamoed. If you didn't do Bedika on the day of the 14th, the morning of the 14th, so then do Bedika b'toch hamoed. So what does that mean? B'toch hamoed, in middle of the moed. So Pashut reading, I would have thought it meant in middle of Yontif. Rashi, in Dibra Maschil b'toch, understands Bisha Shishis Shuhu Moed Habiur, that Betocha Moed means during the sixth hour, that's the time for Bir Chametz. That's Betocha Moed. Then we said, Lo Badak Betocha Moed, Yivdok Liachara Moed. If you didn't do Bedika Betocha Moed, then you do Bedika Liachara Moed. Liachara Moed, according to Rashi, is Mishesho Sulamaila Chetachshach, after the sixth hour of the day, until it gets dark, until Pesach begins. And after you do Bedikas Chametz at the proper Zman, on the night of the 14th, whatever you're left over with, you should put it in a safe and secure place so that you're not going to have to do another Bedika. We just discussed yesterday with all the weasels and the different things that could drag the Chametz to different places, so you don't want to have to worry about that. Put it in a safe and secure place. And that is all Shitas Rashi in terms of what Betocha Moed and Le'achara Moed means. Tosos in Divra Maskel Vi'im disagrees with Rashi. Tosos says Betocha Moed means from the beginning of the seventh hour until the end of Pesach, meaning throughout the entire Zman Iser Chametz, and Le'achar Moed Pashtos means after Pesach. That's the Achar Moed. The Rif and the Rush say Tocha Moed is during Pesach itself. La'achar Moed is La'achar Pesach. Again, like the more Pashut reading. Tosos just asked on Rashi that if Tocha Moed would really mean the Shah Shishis, and Achar Moed is from the sixth hour until Shetachshach, why does the Tana change his Lashon that in, with it, when Rabbi Yehuda's talking, we call the Shah Shishis Shas Habir? And then all of a sudden, when the Chacham start talking, we call the Shah Shishis Tocha Moed. Within the same Mishnah, we change the language that we're talking about the same exact time. So this is something that the Rishonim and Achronim deal with to try to answer Tosfos Kasha on Rashi. But that's the fundamental machlokas Rashi and Tosfos here. So says the Gemara, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say you're supposed to do Bedikas Chametz three times? Whoever heard of such a thing, and one does Bedikas Chametz three times? That since the Torah talks about destroying chametz in three different psukim, so we assume those three different psukim aren't three ways of describing the same thing, but rather it's three times. Lo yira lecha chametz v'lo yira lecha sa'ar is one pasuk. Shivas yam sa'ar lo yimatzei b'batechem is the second pasuk. And ach b'yom harishon tashpis sa'ar b'batechem is the third pasuk. So that's why we do three bedikas chametz. So says Gemara, Masiv, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Omer Kol Shlo Badek B'Shlosh Prokom Alalu, Shuv Eino Bodek. Rabbi Yehuda says that anyone who didn't do Bedika during these three times, Shuv Eino Bodek, which makes it sound that the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is not in how many times you do Bedika. The Chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is, what if you didn't do Bedika in the proper time? What do you then do? That Rabbi Yehuda says, Shuv Eino Bodek, that's it, you don't do any more Bedika. The language of Rabbi Yehuda suggests that the whole Chiddush is that you're not going to do Bedika afterwards. But it's not about how many times you do Bedika first. Marzutra Masniyachi, Marzutra taught the question as follows, that Masav Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Shlo Badek Ve'echad Mishlosh HaPrakam Alalum, Shuvenu Badek. It's even more explicit. That Rabbi Yehuda says, anyone who doesn't do Bedika, Be'echad Mishlosh HaPrakam Alalum, during one of these three times. So clearly Rabbi Yehuda does not mean to say that one is supposed to do Bedika during all three of these times. No! You're supposed to do Bedika during, ideally, the night of Arbasar, or Larbasar. If you don't do that, the morning. If you don't do that, Shasabir. He's not saying to do it all three times. And his whole Chiddush is that if you didn't do it during one of those three times, then it's too late. Anytime after 6 hours, in Erev Pesach, too late to do Bedika. Alma b'shuvim v'bodek u'dupligi. So again, it seems that the machlokas is, what do you do when you didn't do Bedika at the proper time? Is it, do you still do Bedika and salvage a little bit, or is it too late, you shouldn't do Bedika anymore? So, Ella Rabbi Yehuda nami imlo badak ka'amar. Rabbi Yehuda also is talking about a case of imlo badak. V'hacha b'hacha miflugi. This is the real machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chum in our Mishnah. Mar Savar Mekami Yisura in Basri Yisur Lo Gzera Dil Masi Lemechu Minei. Rabbi Yehuda holds you can do Bedikas Chametz before Chametz becomes Asir. Once Chametz becomes Asir, you can no longer do Bedikas Chametz, because we're afraid that if you're going to do Bedikas Chametz, you're going to come to eat from the Chametz that you are searching out. Rabbanan Savri Lo Gazrina. And the Rabbanan have no such concerns. The Rabbanan say you're allowed to do Bedikas Chametz even after the Zman Isur Chametz begins. That's the Machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. So says the Gemara, now that we have established, Rabbi Yehuda holds, we don't want you handling chametz after the Zman Isur. We don't want you looking for it because you're going to, we don't want you handling it lest you come to eat it. So the Gemara asks, so mi gozer Rabbi Yehuda dil masi lemeich l'minei? Does Rabbi Yehuda generally make such gezeros that he doesn't want you handling things that are usher lest you come to eat from it? There happens to be this Nisr in Shulchan Aruch, machlokas rishonim, this Nisr darais and Nisr drabanan to do schora with macholos asuros. If a person makes a living owning a treif restaurant, so that's an issur schora. A person's not allowed to do schora with ma'achalos asuros. Possibly the Rashba writes shami yavalechu, meaning that you might come to eat from it. So that's the question: does the Rashba really mean that it's, that sounds drabanan that you might come to eat from it, or is he just giving a tam for the issur daraisa? But over here we're just talking about handling it. You're not doing schora. Is it true that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you shouldn't even handle something that it's also to eat from? So va'atnan, we have a mishnah mishakarafa omer yotzin motzin shuk yerushalayim sheimuleim kemach v'kali shalom baratzon chacham divrei meir. That a mayor holds that once the carbon omer was brought, you could already go out into the marketplace and find chadash all over the place. Now, if you could find toasted grains of chadash all over the place the second the carbon omer was brought on the second day of Pesach, that means that obviously people harvested it before the carbon omer was brought. Now, before the carbon omer is brought, it's chadash, it's asir. So people were processing it and harvesting it and dealing with it before the carbon omer was brought. So that's where a mayor says, this is shalom baratzon chacham. The chacham were not happy that people were doing this. They thought this was a terrible idea for people to be handling chadash before chadash became mutter. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beratzon Chacham Vayosin, V'lo Kagaz Rabbi Yehuda Del Masi L'meich L'minei. Rabbi Yehuda holds, nah, it's perfectly fine. The Chacham were totally okay with that. And Rabbi Yehuda is not worried that you're going to come to eat from it. So bottom line is, we have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. How could, and now the Gemara is going to later point out, we also have a stira in the Chachamim, because the Chachamim in our Mishnah said that after 6 hours of the day, you could still do Bedikas Chametz if you haven't yet done it. In the middle of Pesach, still do Bedikas Chametz if you haven't yet done it. So in our Mishnah, the Chachamim are not concerned that you're going to handle something that's Asr Bachila. Yet over there, when it comes to Chadash, Shalom Baratzon Chachamim, the Chachamim were not happy about it and were concerned that you might come to eat from it. So the Gemara will point that out as well. But first, we're going to deal with the Stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Why is it that by Chametz, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want you doing Bedikas Chametz after the Zman Issa because he's afraid you're going to come to eat it? When it comes to Chadash, he has no problem with the fact that people were handling Chadash. Three answers the Gemara is going to give. Answer number one, Amar Rava, he changes to the Bach changes on the side. Shiny Chadash mitoch shlo etatel ella al yedei kituv hu zachar. That since when you harvest the Chadash, you're going to not harvest it in the normal way, using normal harvesting utensils, you're going to rather do it with your hands directly, so that's a shinui, and therefore you're going to come to remember, you'll remember not to eat it. Amle abayi tenach b'shas k'tifa. That's great for when you're harvesting it. What about when you're grinding it? And what about when you're sifting it? So what's going to remind you then not to eat it? You're going to be handling it throughout the entire process. So it says, "Hello, Kasha. Tchina bereichai diyad harkadal gabe nafa." That the grinding is done with a hand mill instead of a water mill. The sifting is done on the back of the sieve rather than on the top of the sieve. So you make a shinoi in every step in the process that they're doing something with the chadash. They'll do some sort of shinoi, and by doing some sort of shinoi, they'll remember not to eat from it. So as long as there's a shinoi involved, that's why it's okay by chadash. So frankly, Gemara el had tanan kotzin beis hashlachim v'shaba amakim avalo gochim v'ukimna krabi Yehuda ma'ikal lemeimar. But how are you going to explain when we say that the Mishnah Menachos says that you could be kotzer the beis hashlachim in the normal way before the bringing of the omer, and beis hamakim the grain that grows in the valleys? And the Gemara says that the Rashi points out over here, the Gemara explains that the kasav echad omer, we have one pasuk that says k'tzartim sounds like that you're allowed to be kotzer before the Omer, and then we have another pasuk that says Omer Reishis Ketzirchem. It sounds like that the Omer is the first Ketzira that we do. So we said no, that the only place that you're allowed to do Ketzira before the Karban Omer, before you do the Ketzira Sa'omer, is in a place where you can't bring the Ketzira Sa'omer from, where you can't do the Ketzira Sa'omer from. But the bottom line is, there is no shinui over there. It just says kotzrin. You're allowed to do ketzira in the normal way. There's no shinui. And this, you do have an isur chadash over here. This grain is asr as chadash. And without a shinui, you're still allowed to harvest it. So answer number one that we suggested, why is Rabbi Yehuda worried when it comes to chametz that you better not do bedikas chametz after the zman issa, you might come to eat it? Yeah, when it comes to chadash, he has no such concerns. So answer number one was, because by chadash, every step of the way that you handle it, you're going to do some sort of shinui to remind you. So frankly, why? But this is a beferish mishnah that you're not doing a shinui, that you're going to be able to harvest it without a shinui. So Ella, rather, we have to suggest answer number two. Ella amra baye, the difference between chametz and chadash is that chadash badil minei, chametz lo badil minei. When it comes to chadash, a person is used to staying away from chadash. That's an issue that's there all the time. But when it comes to chametz, it's only 1 week out of the year. Person is used to eating chametz, he's not used to staying away from chametz, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is more concerned that you might come to eat the chametz. Amar Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Kasha, Drabana, Lo Kasha. Wait a second, Rava says. That's a great answer to answer the stira within Rabbi Yehuda. But what about the stira within the Rabbanan? Remember, the Rabbanan in our Mishnah said that if you didn't do Bedikas Chametz before Pesach, no problem. Do Bedikas Chametz after 6 hours of the day in Erev Pesach. Do Bedikas Chametz on Pesach. That's not a problem. You can do Bedikas Chametz after this Zman Issa. We're not worried you're going to come to eat from it. Yet when it comes to the Chadash, the Rabbanan, it was Shalom Baratzon Chachamim. The Rabbanan were not happy that people were harvesting and dealing with Chadash before the Karban Omer. So says Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, like we already answered the Sira and Rabbi Yehuda, that Chadash people are used to staying away from, Chametz they're not. Hu atzma mechazvel of the sarfo mechel kachle minei. The stira in the rabban is also not a stira, because we assume that if a guy is going out of his way to try to burn the chametz, that he's not going to eat the chametz. Meaning, when it comes to the chadash, why is the person handling chadash? Because he knows that pretty soon it's not going to be chadash anymore. As soon as they bring the carbon omer, this grain itself is going to be mutter, and he's getting it ready for when people are going to use it. So he's not handling it to get rid of it, he's handling it to get it ready to be eaten. So the Rabbanan said, well, we're not happy about that. He's going to be handling grains to prepare them to be eaten, and to prepare them to be sold. He might come to snack from it, he might come to eat from it. But when it comes to chametz, why is he handling this chametz? He's doing bedika. He's trying to find, to search for and destroy every last remnant of chametz. So while you're looking for something to destroy it, you're not going to come to eat from something. So a couple of practical ramifications about on this halacha. The Rivash has a diyun in a tshuva in Siman Tav Aleph. Let's say a person is a neighbor with a guy, and on the guy's roof there's some chametz, and it rolls over onto the Jew's roof. So what should the Jew do with such chametz that comes into his property on Pesach? So the Rivash quotes from the Ritz Geus that Gag Shel Goy, that was Samach L'Gag Shel Yisrael, and the chametz rolls onto the roof. So take a stick and push it off of your roof. And if it's Shabbos or Yantif, where it's Muktza, Kofel of Kli, you should take a Kli and cover it, but don't actually move it. So the Rivash says, you see that you're not allowed to, on Pesach, you're not allowed to pick up the chametz and remove it biyodayim, shema yavol liachlo. That even chametz of a guy we're worried about on Pesach, both on Pesach and Chol HaMoed. Only to move it with a stick is okay. That apparently the Rabbanim were concerned, shema yavol liachlo. That's quoted by Allah in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Taf Mem Vav. So there is a discussion in the later Achronim. Nowadays, when we find chametz of a guy in our possession, it's not because it rolled from a neighboring roof. It's because we sold all of our chametz to a guy, and we forgot to put some of the chametz in the area that belongs to the guy. So can we take, let's say this happens all the time, people find chametz somewhere in their house. Now, in the Lashon of the Shtar, they sell all the chametz that's in any other property to the guy. It all belongs to John Brown. If you sold through me, it all belongs, or through any many other rabbis in the tri-state area, belongs to a fellow named John Brown. It's all gone. So can you take this chametz from your bedroom, let's say, that you find, and put it into the area in the garage that you have blocked off for the rest of the chametz of John Brown? So the Shevet Alevi in a tshuva in Chelek Tes uses this svara that hu atzu mechazul of the sarfo mechel kalkuminei, that it's no problem to pick it up and put it in that area, because your whole purpose of picking it up is to get rid of it, is that you don't want it in your house. So while you're picking it up to get it out, to remove it, we're not worried that you're going to come to eat from it. Can you burn it? So that's an interesting shaila, because l'chora, it's not yours. It's stealing to burn chametz that doesn't belong to you. So Rav Azra thinks that it's a davar pasha that you can burn it. He says that that the guy is definitely not makbid, because he doesn't lose a single penny by burning it. He knows what the deal is. He knows that he's going to be able to sell you back this chametz after Pesach, and he knows you're not going to pay a penny less for it because you burnt that chametz. So he doesn't really care one way or the other whether you burn it. We're makbid to ask John Brown in advance, that if we find chametz and it makes us very uncomfortable to have chametz in our possession on Pesach, would you mind if we burnt it? And so far every year he's been mochel, he's allowed us to burn it. But that's one application of this idea that hu atzum lechazav sarfo mechel ka'achum minei. There's an interesting halach in Shulchan Aruch in Simon Ayin Reish Hey Siv Zayin, that even though the chametz say that you're not allowed to read la'or haner on Shabbos, the gzeira shemiyata, that we're afraid you're going to tilt the candle and then you might come to be mechabe the candle, you're allowed to read, says the Shulchan Aruch, Perek Bam Madlikin La'or Haner on Shabbos. Because what are you reading? You're reading Perek Bam Madlikin all about how to be careful about a ner on Shabbos. So while you're reading about how to be careful about a ner on Shabbos, you're not going to be imata the ner, based on this line of the Gemara. Hu atzo mechazul of the sarfo, mechel kalchaminei. While you're looking to destroy the chametz, you're not going to come to eat the chametz. While you're learning about how to be careful about a ner on Shabbos, you're not going to come to tilt the ner on Shabbos. But stam, to read other things, that's what you're not allowed to do lara ner. So there's a discussion in the Achronim, what about other areas of Hilcha Shabbos? Is it dafka perek bab madlikin, or is it other areas of Hilcha Shabbos as well? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat and Tezayin says from the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like it's only bab madlikin, because that's in yanim of the Isra Adlaka, and how a person will be shocheach lahadlik, but other halachos of Shabbos, he does not think are included in this. It also, l'chora, would not apply to someone who doesn't understand what he's reading when he reads Perek Bab Madlikin. Perek Bab Madlikin only is going to protect you if you actually know what you're reading. You're supposed to understand what we're reading. The reason we chaz over Perek Bab Madlikin on Erev Shabbos is because it makes sense that it's in Yonah Diyoma to chazer it over at that time. Sometimes in shuls, they go through it so fast, you can't even say the words, let alone think about what they mean. It's Talmud Torah. You're supposed to be, someone once asked me, why does your shul say Bab Madlikin slower than, it's not my shul, it's just me. Why do you say Bab Madlikin slower than any other shul I've ever been in? I say it as fast as I say the rest of davening. I don't know, I just try to think what the words mean, because that's the whole inyan. Okay, anyway, there's also an interesting ha'ara, the Kashuk Lover Gaon, Rav Ari Tzvi Frimer, the Eretz Tzvi. I just got an email last week, someone said, I love when you quote the Eretz Tzvi. Someone had some sort of sheichus. I love that Rav Ari Tzvi Frimer also, the only gadol that has the same name as me, Aryeh Tzvi. So anyway, so the Shulchan Aruch writes in Simon Pei Tes that you're not supposed to learn before davening. So what do we do every single morning? We learn before davening. Shulchan Aruch is worried, you know, that you're going to learn before davening, so the Zman Tefillah is going to be so tarred by Gersasso that the Zman Tefillah is going to come and you're going to forget to daven. So that's not a concern usually when you have a group learning together, because if I were to try to go even a minute or two over the start time for davening, someone would remind me probably to stop the shiur already. So you're not supposed. So, but generally speaking, you're not supposed to learn before davening. So the Kashuk Lover is bothered. Why is the Olam not Nisar in this? People learn before davening all the time, even b'yichidus, even when they're not in a group. So he says, I think it could be Mlamid Zchus as follows. The Zohar writes in Parshas Miketz that Limud Torah before Tefillah is a skula that the Tefillah is going to be a pure Tefillah without Machshava Zoros. And someone who's Lomei Torah and has intention when he learns Torah that he wants to get his day off started with spirituality so that his Tefillah will be a stronger Tefillah, there's not a Chashash that he's going to forget to be Mespalel. Says Rav Ari Tzvi Frimer, why? Hu Atzmo Mechazer Lov L'Sorfo Meichel Kachel Mine. You're not going to be nichshol in something that you're dafka doing to protect. You're dafka learning to prepare you for your tefillah, to make for a better tefillah. So you're going to forget to daven from such a learning. No, if your whole learning is just to make the tefillah better, a person's not going to forget to daven from such a learning. Okay, says Gemara now, third possibility. Again, to explain Rabbi Yehuda's shita, why is it that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't want us handling chametz after the Zman Isser, lest we come to eat from it, but he's totally okay with us handling chadash while it's still us. And he's not worried that we're going to come to eat from it. So Rav Ashi Yamar, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda Lo Kasha, Kemach V'Koli Tanan. What kind of Chadash are we handling? We're handling flour and toasted grain. Neither of those things are edible. That's why we're not worried that you're going to come to eat from the Chadash. You're not handling anything that's edible. V'had Rav Ashi Badusi. But says the Gemara, that answer of Rav Ashi is a joke. That is absolutely not correct. Hatenach M'Koli Ve'elach. Me'ekara Adkoli Ma'ikul Me'emar. You know how you make toasted grain? You take regular grain and you toast it. So what happens when it's still regular grain before you've toasted it? Then it's still edible. So there's no way that you're only dealing with overly toasted grain that's not edible. Obviously, you had to deal with it before it was toasted, when it was still edible. The chitema al yidei kituv kidurava. And if you're going to say no, maybe what Rav Ashi meant is that before it gets toasted, you'll deal with it with a shinoi. But again, we had the problem with the first answer as well, that not everything is done with a shinoi. We have a Beferish Mishnah that there are certain places where they would harvest grain without a shinoi. So we have to say that Rav Ashi's answer is incorrect. So the Gemara had suggested three possible ways to understand Rav Yehuda and only stuck with the second possible approach. Again, that Chadash is Badumi. Chametz is lo badil mineh. People are used to staying away from chadash. They are not used to staying away from chametz. Fret the Gemara. V'kol heichad lo badil mineh migazer Rabbi Yehuda. And any place where a person is used to. Now that we accept answer number two, the Gemara is going to challenge it twice. So challenge number one, is this really true that things that you're not used to keeping away from, like chametz, things that you're used to having all the time, Rabbi Yehuda is going to make a gezeira that he doesn't want you to even handle it? Va'atanana, the Mishnah seems to say otherwise. Lo yikav adam, so we were just talking about Bam Madlikin, here we go. Lo yikav adam shofer shel beitza, v'yimal'ena shemen, v'yitnena b'tzara ner b'shvil sh'tem na tefes. A person cannot set up a contraption where he has an eggshell, an empty eggshell that he fills with oil that's right next to a candle, and there's a little hole in the bottom of the eggshell that drips oil into the candle, that feeds the candle. Va'afilu hishal cheres, even if it's made out of cheres. Rabbi Yehuda matir, but Rabbi Yehuda has no problem with that. But the so what? So what's the point of the, what point is the Gemara making? So you see that even though people aren't used to keeping away from oil, Rabbi Yehuda's not worried that you're going to come to take a little bit of the oil. And taking a little bit of the oil is a problem. It's an isser of mechabe on Shabbos. So says Gemara, hasam yishum chumra de Shabbos. You're right. People aren't used to staying away from oil, but Shabbos is such a serious thing that mishum chumra de Shabbos, people are going to be very careful not to go anywhere near the oil. Why is removing oil from the flame considered to be a violation of mechabe? Whereas you're not extinguishing anything, the fire is still going when you take a little bit of oil away. So this is the machlokas rishonim. Tosus writes in Maseches Beitza Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph that it's not that it makes the flame go out more quickly, because that's only a ground kiboy. Once the rest of the oil runs out, there won't be as much oil left, so it's going to go out a little sooner than it otherwise would have. He said, that's only a gram kiboy. That would not be the issue. The issue is that when you have a candle that has a lot of oil, so it has a nice, the light is a very strong light. When you remove some of the oil, the light flickers a little bit. It's not quite the same quality of light. And that's the kiboy. The kiboy is that the light changes right away as you're removing the oil. Fret the rush, that's against this Mishnah. This Mishnah says that even if you have a contraption set up where the oil is not even there yet in the candle, the oil is in this shell that's about to drip to the candle, it's kibbutz even to remove it from the shell that's going to drip into the candle. That clearly has no effect on the light as it currently is. So says the Rush, no, the concern is gram kibbutz, that the concern is that it's going to cause it to go out sooner than it otherwise would have, and that's the issue. The Mai Nafkamina between Tosos and the Rush, so the Beis Yosef points out a very simple Nafkamina. Let's say you have a wax candle, and it's a very long candle, and you don't need a candle to be lit for that long, to go all the way down. Can you cut the candle on Shabbos? Cut off the bottom part of the candle. So what effect is that going to have on the fire right now? Absolutely zero. It's going to have no effect whatsoever on the fire right now. But it's going to cause it to go out sooner. So according to Tosfos, said the problem of kibbutz is only if it has an effect right now on the fire, so then you're allowed to cut the wax candle. According to the Rush, that the problem is that it's going to go out sooner, you're not allowed to cut the wax candle. Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tavkuf Yudal, it says, Ner shel Shavuos sherotzo ladliko biyomtov, v'chasolav shelo yisrof kulo, yachol litein sviv kodem sheyidlakenu davar amoneh milisarev, he gives a different etza. He says, you have this long wax candle, put something around the candle that will maybe cause it to become extinguished when it reaches that point, but not to cut it down. Says the Rama that yesh matirin lachtoch ner shel shava ba'or, that some say that you can cut it down as well. So apparently this is the machlokas rishonim, machlokas mechaber in the Rama, is this machlokas tosa in the Rosh. Again, what exactly is the kiboy over here? But for our purposes, in our Gemara, the point is that chumra the Shabbos is what keeps a person from keeps a person on the straight and narrow, keeps a person from violating any isser. Frankly, Gemara, does that really work? Chumra de Shabbos, v'rami de Shabbos haShabbos. I'll ask you a stira within Hilcha Shabbos. D'tanya chevel delisha nifsak. If you have a string that holds a barrel that snaps, lo ye kosho ela onva, you can't tie a knot in the string, but you can tie a bow. Rabbi Yehuda mer korichel of pundo piskio blvach lo yanvenu. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't even tie a bow. Take some other type of garter or something and wrap it around, but don't even tie a bow. Kasha drabida drabida kasha drabana drabana. Bottom line is, we see that even when it comes to Hilcha Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda is going to be extra machmir. He doesn't want you messing around. He's not going to trust that bedilimine, that because Shabbos is so strict, you're going to stay away from violating any yisr. So he won't let you tie a bow, lest you come to tie a knot. So say, and Sestira and the Rabbanan also, the Rabbanan do allow tying the bow. So the Rabbanan lo kasha. The Sestira and the Rabbanan is not a problem. Shemen b'shemen michlef, aniva b'kshira lo michlef. The Rabbanan didn't like the idea with the shemen because they were worried that you're going to come to confuse one shemen for another. But when it comes to kshira, then the Rabbanan are not concerned that you're going to confuse a bow for a knot. Rabbi Huda lo kasha, it's not a Sestira and Rabbi Huda either. Taimit Rabbi Huda lav mishum degazra aniva atuk. The reason Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow you to tie a bow is not because he's afraid that if we allow you to tie a bow, you're going to tie a knot. No. El mishum deksaver aniva gufa kshiri. Rabbi Yehuda has a unique shita in Hilchos Kosher on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a bow is a violation of the melacha of kosher. He holds that that itself is a violation of kosher. So it's nothing to do with bedile bidei, not bedile. What are you going to come to do? No, this itself, tying a bow, is a problem in Hilchos Shabbos according to Rabbi Yehuda. So frankly, Marav Rami Drabbanan Drabbanan, we'll ask a different stira in the Rabbanan. The Tanan, we have Mishnah, Koshen Dli Bepiskia, Avalo Bechevel, Rabbi Yehuda Matir. So you're allowed to tie a Dli with some sort of Piskia, something that's not made to stay there forever, and therefore is not going to be a Kesher Shel Kayama. But you're not allowed to tie with a rope, and Rabbi Yehuda says you are allowed to tie with a rope. So Chevel Demai, Ilei Mechevel Dialma, Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Kesher Shel Kayama, Hu Devadei Asli Vetulei. If we're talking about just a regular rope, how could it be that Rabbi Yehuda would allow tying with a regular rope? That's definitely Kesher Shel Kayama. You can definitely come to be Mevatalin. El Pshita de Gardi. So clearly we mean a weaver's rope, which is not strong enough to hold the bucket forever. So it's not going to be a Kesher Shel Kayama. V'gozra Rabban Chevel de Gardi Atu Chevel de Alma. But the bottom line is the Rabbanan didn't allow even using the weaver's rope, lest you come to use a regular rope. So you see that the Rabbanan are concerned that you're going to come to Rabbi Yehuda is not gozer by Shabbos because chumra de Shabbos, but the Rabbanan are concerned about that even by Hilchos Shabbos that you're going to come to violate. So says Gemara in chevel bechevel michlef aniva b'kshira lo michlefa. The Rabbanan are concerned that you better not use one type of rope lest you come to use a different type of rope to tie a knot. But the Rabbanan are not so concerned that they're going to outlaw tying a bow. They don't think anyone's going to get confused between a bow and a knot. There's a difference between getting confused between different types of ropes. That's a reasonable concern in the eyes of the Rabbanan, and becoming confused between a bow and a knot, that's an unreasonable concern. Period. Now the Gemara again challenges this rule. The rule that we said, that any time a person is used to staying away from something, Rabbi Yehuda thinks you don't have to worry, the person's not going to come to eat it. But something that something that people are not used to staying away from, like chametz, you do have to be concerned someone's going to eat it. So ask the Gemara now again, things that you're used to staying away from, is Rabbi Yehuda really not gozer that you're going to come to violate? V'atanya, we have a braisa as follows. He changes about Tanan to Mishnah. Becharsha achsudam afilu hu meis ein makizin lo dam div Rabbi Yehuda. Let's say you have a bechar. Now the halach is when you have a bechar, you're not allowed to be matil an animal bechar. You're not allowed to be matil a mum in the animal. So let's say the animal needs bloodletting for health reasons. Even if it's going to die, Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot do the bloodletting because Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that you're going to make a mum in the animal. V'cham mam yakiz b'vach lo yathel b'mum. And the Chum say no, you could do it because you could do the bloodletting, just be careful. Don't make a mum in the animal. But bottom line is, over there, it's a situation of badumine. A person is used to staying away from the Bukhar. He knows that there's an isser of making a mum in a Bukhar. And still, Rabbi Yehuda's gozer that you can't even do kazas dam lest you come to make a mum. So don't you see that even things people are used to staying away from, Rabbi Yehuda's still going to be gozer? So says Gemara, no, hasu mitok shadam bahul al mamono amrina nisharis le b'makum shein osin bahul. Now over there, since a person wants to protect his money, the Kohen who gets to keep the Bechar, he doesn't want this Bechar to die, because if it dies, then it's an avail, it's worthless. So the Kohen is going to be worried about his money. If we allow him to do bloodletting in a place where it's not going to make a mum, he might come to do it to make a mum as well. But when it comes to normal situations of things that people are used to in Isser, like by Chadash, you don't have to worry that a person is going to violate. And the Rabbanan will say that since a person is Baal Mono, if you don't allow him to do anything, then he's definitely going to come to make a mum. If you tell him, because then he's going to hold himself back till he can't take it anymore, and then he's going to act irrationally. So, wait a second, does Rabbi Yehuda really share this concern that a person is baal al mamono, that a person will do things that are wrong because he's so worried about protecting his money? But Tanan Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ain Mikardina Behema, you're not allowed to comb an animal beyomtov, Neshu also chabura, because that's going to make a wound in the animal. Avul Mikartsafin, but you're allowed to do a different type of combing. The Gemara is going to explain what the difference is between Mikardin and Mikartsafin. Vachomum in Mikardin afin Mikartsafin, they can't do either one. Vitanya, Ezu Kidur Vezu Kirtsuf, what is Kidur and what is Kirtsuf? Kidur ketanim va'usin chabura. Kidur is with small teeth on the comb, and it makes a wound. Kartzuf gedolim ve'usin chabura. It's with wider teeth that aren't going to make a wound on the animal. But the bottom line is, you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not worried that a person is bahul al mamono. Meaning, when it comes to combing the animal, Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay. You could use a type of comb that's more gentle on the animal, and I'm not worried you're going to be so nervous about ruining your animal that you're going to want to use the better comb, the comb that's less gentle on the animal. Rabbi does not worry that you're going to be baal al mamono, you're going to be worried about your animal and you're going to want to use the more effective comb. So how can you say Rabbi Yehuda holds people are worried about their money and therefore are going to violate Isurim? So it says, no, Hasan di shafgi le mayis amrin adam baal al mamono. When it comes to the Bukhar, if you don't do the bloodletting, what's your concern? That the animal's going to die and then it's going to lose all of its value, you're going to have nothing to show for it. So then Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, I'm worried that a person's going to act irrationally and he's going to make a mum in the animal. Hacha, what happens if you don't comb the animal? Ishavikleh tsarabi almahu. So the animal's going to be annoyed. He's going to be in pain. It's going to bother the animal. You don't care if the animal's annoyed. You just don't want the animal to be dead. You just don't want the animal to be lost. So then we're not concerned that a person is going to be so careful with his money. Rabbi Yehuda, maishna gabi chametz to gazer, maishna gabi kartzuf to lo gazer. Yeah, but now going back to our original topic, Rabbi Yehuda, when it came to chametz, Rabbi Yehuda was gozer that we don't want you handling the chametz, lest you come to eat it. So why is he okay with combing the animal with the more gentle comb? Why isn't he concerned that you're going to comb the animal with the less gentle comb and you're going to make a chabura? Says Gemara, lechem belechem michlef kidur bekartzuf lo michlef. Because different types of bread you can easily confuse for each other. Difference between, again, a pita bread and a sfardi matzah, you'll easily confuse for each other and you'll make the mistake, you'll come to eat it. But when it comes to the different combs, they're so different from each other that there's no concern of confusing one for the other. New Mishnah, Rameir Omer, Ochlin kol chametz v'sarfim d'tchila shesh. Rameir says you can eat chametz the entire fifth hour and you burn chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. Remember we had a sheet of Rabbi Yehuda who holds that ein bir chametz al esreifa. Rabbi Yehuda holds, I don't know if we had it yet, but later daf chafalv, I think we had it already, that we had one of those shemamina tlas, it was one of the three things we learned from Rabbi Kiva, that ein bir chametz al esreifa, that you can only burn chametz. So that's what the Achronim aren't sure, the Rishonim, the Baal Amar says, from the fact that Rameir says you eat chametz the entire fifth hour, the sarfin b'tchil ha-shesh, is that a raya that Rameir also holds? Ein bir chametz al esreifa? So the Baal Amar thinks yes. The Rava says no. Everyone agrees that l'chadchila you should be sarif your chametz. Then the question is it a kiyum mitzvah of bir chametz to throw it in the wind, throw it in the ocean also? But the Stam Mishnayos will always use the lashon of sarfin because that's obviously the best way to get rid of chametz. So anyway, Rameir holds during the fifth hour you're still allowed to eat chametz. Beginning of the sixth hour is when you burn it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ochlin kol arba v'tolim kol chametz v'sarfim t'chila shesh. That you eat it through the first 4 hours. During the fifth hour, you can't eat it, but don't burn it yet either. And then you burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. Va'odam Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda says they used to have a symbol to remind people when the Yisr would be chal. That shtei chalas shel tod p'sulos menachas agav yitzva. They would put two pasul carbon tod chalas on the platform around the harabayis. When you saw two loaves there, everyone knew it was still time that you're allowed to eat your chametz. Nitla achas tolun loachim v'lo sarfin. When one loaf was removed, then you knew that the zman achila was over, but you didn't have to burn the chametz yet either. Nitlu shtein. When both loaves were removed, hischilu kolam sarfin. Then everyone had to burn the chametz. And when Leil Omer chulin echalun kol arba truma kol chametz sarfin tchilas shesh. When Leil is the third sheet that he says the first 4 hours you can eat chulin, but no more chulin after 4 hours. During the fifth hour you can eat only truma, so that you won't destroy the truma necessarily. And at the beginning of the sixth hour you burn the chametz. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah, Echron Bishnaim Bechodesh Vechron Bishlosha, Eidus and Kayemes. So a Mishnah in Sanhedrin about two Eidim. One of the Eidim says that what happened, that the event happened on the second day of the month. The other says it happened on the third day of the month. So we accept our Eidus. We assume one of them knew that the last month became a 30-day month instead of a 29-day month. The other one didn't, so they were off in their Cheshbonos. Echron Bishlosha Vechron Behei, Eidus and Betelev. If they're off by 2 days, then we don't accept the Reidus. If one of them says the Eidus happened in 2 hours into the day, the other one said it happened 3 hours into the day, we accept the Reidus, that even though they're off by 1 hour. But if they're off by 2 hours, then we don't accept the Reidus. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Yudom Reidusim Kayemes. Even if they're off by 2 hours, we're going to accept their Eidus. Echron B'chamish V'Echron But if one of them says it happened in the fifth hour of the day, the other one says it happened in the seventh hour of the day, even though it's still off only by 2 hours, then even Rav Yudah is going to say that's problematic, because there's no way people would confuse the fifth hour for the seventh hour. The sun is on different sides of the sky in the fifth hour and the seventh hour. Third hour and the fifth hour, that people will come to confuse. Why are we quoting this Mishnah in Sanhedrin? Because this Mishnah in Sanhedrin talks about how much of a mistake people might make in estimating the time of day, in estimating what time of day it is, and that's what the Isur Chametz before the Zman Isur Daraisa, before Chatzos Hayom, is all based on. How much before Chatzos Hayom do we have to make people stop eating chametz is all based on how much of a mistake will people make in estimating the time. We want to give a little leeway for mistakes. So that's why we're going to connect, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, two basic opinions and how to connect this Mishnah Sanhedrin to our Mishnah. Okay.